Hey everyone, we are live for our Sunday weekly warm up, and it is just the dream team. Brad and Hughes and I are here. We don't have a guest this week. There's no fancy panel. We're actually just coming live to you this evening to say hi, do a check-in with our network. We want to take some listener questions. A lot of you have submitted them already, but of course, if you have any listener questions live, that's a huge part of why we're here. And honestly, Brad and I just want to catch up. So we're excited to have a little bit more of a casual home feel to this live that we'll be doing on Sunday and excited to interact with all of you. So we'll be right back after this like commercial thingy. And then, Brad, we're getting into it. Everyone, happy Sunday. Brad, how's your Sunday going?
Sunday's been fantastic. A bit of a rainy, drizzly day here in Southern Ontario, but we turned up the energy this afternoon. We had an opportunity to see Taylor Swift's Eras Tour in the cinema tonight, and had a
Yes.
fantastic time. How about you?
Wait, we have to talk about that because the girls and I went yesterday and I feel like that was the vibe. I was like, girls, what should I wear for the show? And they're like, a red lipstick. And I'm like, actually, Taylor Swift rocked it for 3.5 hours on like movie. Maybe I'll try some red lipstick.
It was an amazing time. We had littles and bigs dancing in the seats, dancing in the aisles. A group of four littles got up about two-thirds of the way through the show, and they went down to the front of the theater. And just in front of the big IMAX screen, there's kind of a stage area. There's also a little gated area where a guest using a wheelchair could be. But because that area was empty, they created their own little stage. And so I think it was during the folklore era, and Taylor was cooking on the screen, and these little ones were just dancing their little hearts out, and it was just a wonderful opportunity because we couldn't get tickets, of course. I mean, ticket holders are so fortunate, but we tried to get tickets. These were the closest tickets we could get, Ray, and boy, we had a great time.
Yeah, I would love to hear in the comments if anybody went to see the Taylor Swift Eras movie because no kidding, it was kind of a surprise to our girls to be able to see it this weekend. We went Saturday morning, which is like a weird, I don't know. Saturday morning is normally a time that I would intend to go see a movie, but okay, I'm not trying to be dramatic, Brad, but like I loved it. And I don't know what particular thing? I don't consider myself a huge Taylor Swift fan. I'm like not anti-Taylor Swift. I just like don't often listen to her music, but I super respect the impact she's been having and that fascinates me. So seeing her on stage, there was no documentary style. It was not like she spoke. It wasn't what I thought it was. It really was just a recording of the tour,
Right.
of one concert she did in LA. And I was so impressed. First of all, the backup dancers were amazing. The backup
Right.
vocalists were amazing. She made me tired watching her kill it. I'm like, I don't know. I just thought the people that were involved in that crew just looked like great people. I don't know. I don't know.
I agree. That was one of the things that we found so captivating. We're fortunate to have seen the Red Tour, and then we saw the 1989 tour. And what we loved about the Red Tour was how interactive Taylor was with her band and with her dancers, and with her backup or her, you know, her backup vocalist. This brought it all back to the front. So she was constantly surrounded by talent, and talent of various shapes, sizes, genders. It was
Yes.
incredible. The talent was out of this world, and Taylor obviously was having a fantastic time on the stage. It was the SoFi Center in California. And like you, Ray, we wondered, how the heck does Taylor do this night after night after night? And by the time her tour is finished, it's been going on for 3 years of
Oh my
nightly
God.
concerts, just laying it all out there. Boy, I want to find out what her wellness routine is to be able to recoup all of that energy she's expending on the stage.
Yeah, it did feel very modern in terms of everyone represented, which I was just thrilled. Like, I love when that's not something I question. And point blank, her entire crew was just all ages, all sizes, all races. I just thought it was fabulous. Also, I, as a former dancer, I love watching a good backup dancer. These dancers were killing it. And like I said, I have great respect for the impact Taylor Swift is having. And I thought she just did a great job coming across as a confident, powerful woman. And I don't mean to say that, gosh, in this community, we're surrounded by people like that, but sure. I felt empowered leaving, and it was just a music concert. Like I felt like it could have been like a keynote of like empowering women, but instead it was a vocalist, you know, performing. And I walked out being like, I think I can rule the world after this.
It really, whether it's a concert or in the cinema, there really is something about being surrounded by an audience, and you're there for a purpose. You're there to celebrate the work of the artist or the work of the filmmaker. Or if you're, you know, if you see a theater, you're there to celebrate the expertise of the company. And just, it really is wonderful to share that experience with a collective audience of all ages. And you're all there for the same reason, to cheer on and celebrate one of your favorite artists. The only thing I would say is that I wish it was in 3D, because that would have made it even more immersive. So, you know, Taylor, if you happen to be watching the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up, first of all, you killed it. You killed it on the Eras Tour. And second of all, if you can remaster your incredible, fantastic, mind-blowing Eras experience into 3D, I would see it over and over again.
Oh, see, Taylor, we don't know that everyone will see it over again, but at least Brad Hughes will see it over and over. You know, it's funny, Brad, I know that we should get off this topic and like continue to say hello to everyone in the comments. I know Brian's here, Andrea, like it's so good. Bree's here, so good to see all of you. The only other thing is that when we were at the cinema, the beginning trailers were like totally off in terms of, I guess I don't know how it works, but like they weren't being projected correctly. There was like an error made in the film. And there was a moment where Maya, my oldest, turned over to me and she was like, are we supposed to be wearing glasses? Because it was like kind of pixelated out. And I looked at her and I was like, maybe. I feel like everybody would know that. I'm looking around. I'm like, no, I think it's an error on the screen, not an error with our engagement. But it was really funny. You said 3D, because I'm like, we kind of wondered if it was in 3D because the screen was messed up.
Ray, is there any chance that the pre-show was sponsored by or brought to you by your local optometrist? Maybe tricking the audience into thinking they had kind of a vision problem, you know, brought to you by, you know,
missed opportunity. Right. Let me tell you, Brad, you are always spot on with those puns in marketing. This was a missed opportunity.
I'm glad that they had the projection all figured out by the time Taylor and company got on the screen. That would have been a huge disappointment. And boy, what an awesome experience.
That was for sure everyone in the entire theater's fear. I'm like, they are going to figure it out, friends. We'll figure it out. Anywho, so well, that's fun. So you did that this weekend. You actually just did that recently, like today, right?
That's right. Yeah, this afternoon. Okay.
How was the rest of your weekend? Anything fun?
Just a great weekend. We closed up our trip. We have a seasonal trailer, and we closed it up last weekend. We dodged the raindrops, and we managed to, you know, close it up without getting too wet. And this is actually our first weekend at home since early May. So May to October, we weekend at our trailer, and now October shifts into time at home. So time to get a little bit caught up on schoolwork. I dipped into that. I got a new book and started reading that as well. Some hockey on the weekend to watch. And this evening, Sunday Weekly Warm-Up, of course.
So fun. There you go. I like that. That's awesome. Yeah, we kind of had Brad, I feel like you were vicariously with us in spirit all weekend, because our weekend was this Taylor Swift movie. Mm-hmm. We kind of had a relaxing few pockets of time. We decorated for Halloween, things like that. But we spent, and I wish I could be more dramatic, but it's the truth. We spent like 6 hours on Saturday night, no technology, and everyone painted at the kitchen table. Like, it kind of happened on accident, and then all of us were just like enjoying the time. But if any of you are looking for a weekend activity, none of us are artists. I don't really know what sparked this. I picked up watercolor literally last week just to kind of relieve stress, because I was seeing a lot of videos of amazing people. And my theory was, I could make a mistake 100 times. No one needs to know. Maybe it'll be relaxing. I do enjoy art. I know you for sure enjoy art.
Sure do.
But literally, our 6-year-old and our 10-year-old just completely were immersed in doing a painting, letting it dry, gave them a break to run around the house, and then came back. And we probably made like 30 watercolor paintings. Like, I don't know what we're going to do with them, but like, it was so cute that the girls were like learning strategies, and yeah, it was so fun. You would have loved it.
I would have loved it. And what I love about what you're describing is not only was it a stress reliever or just a way to kind of get in the zone, get into flow, but also, you know, with your girls, a connective opportunity. Like, what a, that's a home run. I'd love to hear from anyone watching and listening tonight in the comments. What kind of activities help you to find your flow, and what kind of activities help you maybe on a weekend get connected with your loved ones? That sounds amazing.
And that's what I was looking for, Brad. Speaking to the stress relief, I personally, when I didn't even know that the girls would even take an interest, because, you know, everything I think they'll enjoy, I'm usually wrong. But I was looking for a very inexpensive way to get into something that would relieve stress. Mm-hmm. And Brad, I bought a watercolor notebook. Was the most expensive thing I bought. It was $5.19. I bought a $2.25 thing of like watercolors. And I bought a brush set that was like $3. And it came with, like, of course, a lot of brushes.
Yep.
And my thinking was like, oh, I'll kind of fill a book with artwork. And if it ends up being trash, then I'll throw it out. Like, it's not a big deal. But then when the girls were interested, we actually went and bought watercolor paper so they could like rip it out and like do something with it. And that in and of itself, that was still only like $7. This was like the cheapest activity of all time. That's awesome.
Well, watercolor as a medium is such, it's just such a forgiving and a gentle way. You apply color gradually and gently. It's got this ethereal kind of misty quality to it. And you're right. Like, you can accumulate lots and lots of experience, and through those sketches and through your work, you're growing the skills, and you put it all together and you think, wow, I mean, I'm an artist.
Well, and if you mess up, you just add water. Like, right. I feel like there's no way to mess it up. And I don't mean to like put my own problems on people that are listening in our Teach Better Network, but when I'm doing anything like my life, I needed a stress reliever that I could not get wrong. And I'm somebody who likes to define things as right and wrong. That's a fault I have. I'm working on it. So I needed something that like I couldn't go wrong in. Like, starting running, I could go wrong in that, right? Like, I couldn't run as far as I wanted or as fast as I wanted, or, you know, I needed something kind of like forgiving. I love that you said it was forgiving. So,
I love that you found something that was both connected and just if you know what I mean by flow, that the time, you kind of lose track of time. You just become immersed in that. And I want to get back to what you said about a fault of yours, you know, looking at things black and white, right or wrong. What I challenge you to do is talk with me about the flip side. Like, what's the bright side of that? What kind of superpower do you have where, you know, someone who does seek that clarity, that black and white, right or wrong, there's got to be a bright side to that.
Yeah, I think that in some elements of my life, it serves me wonderfully, especially in decision-making. Like, I feel like I typically can make quick decisions, but assume that something is a good idea or a bad idea and power through. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I make a decision later on, I was like, oh, that was the wrong one. But I usually am able to at least make the decision, right? Like, I can be reflective in saying, oh, this was a failed run because I couldn't even get around the block. And then a few, you know, an hour or two later say, no, it's still good. I went out. But it's in the moment that those issues, I feel like, don't serve me well in a stressful environment.
There you go. And I know you well, and I know that you make those decisions and you're committed to failing forward. I mean, you're learning through practice, and you accept that, you know, the only, you know, a worse decision is not making a decision at all, because then everything is jammed up. And I can be guilty of overthinking, and I tend to be very collaborative in my decision-making, but sometimes, especially when under stress, I kind of over collaborate because I find it so hard to make a decision. I'm getting better at that. That's something that, you know, being more decisive and taking a risk and making a decision so we can take the next step and learn from that too. That's something I continue to work on too. But, you know, we're all trying to get better and better at what we do.
No, but this is exactly, well, not exactly, because there's a million reasons, but this is why I feel like we work well together. Because I'm typically eager to get an answer and move on. And you are so collaborative. And I love that, because I don't even think sometimes to bring in certain voices. And you have that foresight to say, all right, we're in this discussion. An answer isn't needed right now. So let's actually choose to better ourselves by being collaborative. So again, one of the many reasons I love hosting this show with you and working with you on the Teach Better team.
Oh, likewise. It really is a dream team.
All right. So Brett, I know we're going to do listener questions today. So a few things that I want to pose to our community here. First off, it's Sunday, so we want to wish you a wonderful weekend and an amazing like week ahead. Tag a friend if you are in the comments watching right now that you think might benefit from any sort of listener question or any sort of discussion. We want to make sure we're discussing with you here in the comments. So that's why we don't have a guest. We just wanted to have our family together. I'm going to start by posing a question I have for Brad. Then we're going to transition into our discussion time. And during that discussion time, we have two options. We're either going to answer listener questions that you guys have already submitted, you know, via email or DMs. Like, we do have a bank of those. Or if any of you have a specific question, whether it be personal, professional, whatever, that you want us to discuss on the show, my guess is we'll probably go through a few. So throw them in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. It can be anything. You know, one of the best questions I heard someone email me, or I read someone email me the other week, was, hey, I feel like I know the answer to this question, but my counterparts don't. Like, I'm working with colleagues who don't consider this. So even if it's not a question you have and you just think it's a great question that can serve our community, throw it in the comments. You have a few minutes to do that. Brad, I have a scenario that I'd love to pose to you to kick off this conversation before we hit transition. Are you up for it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I can't really give you too many details, but I just came through a discussion with Matt right before the show where he was having a frustrating matter at work. And I was like, actually, that's a really interesting question for educators to consider. So his issue at work sparked my question. Essentially, what he was experiencing is he tonight was like, I have to work a little bit when the kids go to bed because I just got an email that somebody very, very important who I respect and need to impress wants to know when I can meet with them. And they're either going to meet with me, they give two options, tomorrow morning or Thursday. And he was like, I need to figure out which time I'm going to say I can do. And in my reflection, I'm like, oh my God, I've had that so many times as an educator. My initial gut is solve it as quickly as possible, like meet with them right in the morning. But maybe that isn't always what you should do. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
My typical response is to draw it out and to postpone it, especially if it's coming on a Sunday, knowing that for me personally and for, you know, the school that I serve, just getting ourselves up and running on a Monday morning and getting the week ahead, that can be consuming enough. So, That's my take is I would put it off until Thursday. However, you know, knowing the situation that Matt is describing, it's someone that he cares about, that he respects, and that he wants to impress or he wants to connect with. Finding the urgency and finding the opportunity to meet sooner than later actually would probably serve him well. Even, you know, as we discussed a few minutes ago, even if everything isn't fully formed, you have an opportunity to start the conversation. And then if you can get together on Wednesday to follow up, so much the better.
Yeah. It's interesting, Brad, that he leaned much more towards your opinion. And I asked him why, and it gave me a lot to think about as a teacher, because I feel like as an educator in the classroom, I don't get requests to meet from people that like, I don't feel a very strong urge. I need to solve their question quickly. Like, I don't feel like maybe on the team, if you message me on a Sunday, I know it's okay if I don't respond until Monday. Right. It's not the end of the world. But as a classroom teacher, the only people contacting me are colleagues, my boss, my principal, a parent. Like, I don't feel like I have the luxury of not feeling stress and importance behind that message.
Sure.
And so when I initially do what I always do, which is, yes, how can I help you respond immediately? I'm not always prepared. And that preparation is very similar to what you said. Monday mornings are crazy. Am I considering that? What is the question going to entail that I have in front of me? Do I need to prepare anything so I can bring something to the meeting? And I always think of that stuff like right as I'm walking into the meeting. like I'm stepping foot into the conference room and I'm like, was I supposed to bring notes? So I think it's interesting as an educator, maybe this is the reminder to lean a little more like Brad, not to put things off because you're unwilling to answer. That's not at all, but to put things off so you feel prepared. And so the emotions can kind of dissipate and everyone can approach things with a little bit more of a logistical approach versus an emotional approach. You know what I mean? Especially the principal, you know, this people come in hot and heavy. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. One of the gifts that I think I can bring to any situation is just to try to find the calm, just to find the calm in intense situations, help the person or the people with, you know, coming in hot, just unpack what's on their mind. And maybe that's where Matt, or maybe where this situation, you could find a happy medium. Maybe it's a phone call on a Monday to gather some initial information without sort of the pressure of meeting in person. And then, you know, tabling the discussion until Thursday, but each person leaves the phone call with some information and some to-dos to come back together on Thursday.
Yeah. All I've learned here is to be more like you. That's all. Yeah. That's all that my takeaway, because you're right. Before you even said something that you do really well is find the calm. I knew that that's what you were going to say. You are the best person to have around in any sort of stressful situation. And like, I need more of that energy. Anyway, well, I appreciate your opinion, Brad. We're going to head into our strategies of our Sunday weekly warm-up. So make sure if you have any questions that you want us to answer, you throw those in the comments. We have a whole bank of listener questions we'll be answering as well. We'll be right back. Here for our Sunday weekly warm-up, transitioning into our Sunday strategies. I do want to give a special shout out to Brad that we have a new segment coming up soon that he has already preloaded, which by the way was my job and I didn't do it. So thank God for Brad. I'm super excited to get into it. That will come right after this. So stick with us. If you are listening live, we're so glad you're here. If you're listening after the fact, no problem. We monitor the comments. Feel free to still use this as a space to collaborate with people and post those questions. This is a family, so we don't go away just when the cameras turn off. We're always here. Brad, we discussed, since it was just us, that we would take some listener questions and just get some support in our community when they're working through some problems at school. These are questions that either have been emailed to us or sent in direct messages from educators all around the world hoping for some advice. So, Brad, if it's okay with you, I have the entire listener bank question log up. There's a little over 300 questions in here. Wow. And I'm going to have you just pick between like 1 to 100. I'm going to have you pick a random number and we'll start with that one. If we have time, maybe we'll do more than one.
Sounds great. Well, what if we started with 99?
Okay. 99. Here we go. Oh, interesting question. Not as much a question as a request.
Okay.
So I love this. Number 99. Share a story about one of the best supports a teacher ever provided you. Share a story about one of the best supports a teacher ever provided you. It's interesting. I'm coming from a teacher to teacher lens, a leadership to teacher lens, and a student to teacher lens, to be honest. So many things here. What are your initial thoughts?
I think of the support that I receive every day from the staff that I serve, just in our moment-to-moment interactions. I am intentional every day about connecting with each person that I cross, whether it's a student or a staff member, a family member, maybe it's a community member or a contractor. And it's through those connections that I find the energy to continue to serve and continue to stay connected with others. So that when I think about, you know, the best service or the best support that I've ever received from a teacher or teachers, it just comes down to being grateful for and being empowered by just the wonderful educators around me.
Yeah, you're right. The people that surround us absolutely fuel me in a lot of ways. I think that that's a great one. I think my route was maybe a little too specific.
Uh-huh.
Because when I was thinking of the best support a teacher ever gave me, I literally took myself back to when I was a seventh grade student in Field Middle School, which mm-hmm. is located in Northbrook, Illinois. And I had this really crotchety woman as my special education teacher. And I had an IEP and I was with her a lot. And I did not understand why I was with her a lot. I didn't understand. Essentially, I just knew that anytime I was with her, I was a dumb kid. And she also just like was older. And so my perception was like, so she's not cool and I'm dumb. What a good combo. Really, really ridiculous. But do you know what? I could draw you a picture, Brad. I vividly remember exactly where her room was and where I sat when she showed me how on the computer to get it to read text out loud to you. Mm-hmm. I will never forget it. It changed my life, but it also is a tool I literally use to this day. Yes, the tools have updated, but we had a computer. I had a laptop. I don't know if it was like mine or it must have just been in her room because I don't think we were one-to-one. And she showed me how to like have text read out loud. And forever then, that is something I have leaned on. Yeah. So I'm like, that was the best tool. That was the best support a teacher ever gave me.
One of our viewers is mentioning the power of positive parent phone calls, especially at the end of a day, at the end of a busy day. And what we know about memory, Ray, is that we often remember and hang on to maybe the most stressful or emotionally intense peak of our day, but certainly that also corresponds with what happens at how we finish our day is often what we focus on. It's that recency bias. And if we can make that shift, if we can make that recency bias shift to positive connections with parents, what a wonderful gift.
Yeah, I'd love to see more comments like that sharing something that gives you support. I love parent nice phone calls. That's always good. That's a good one. Brad, do you want to pick another listener question?
How about you pick this time?
Okay. Oh my goodness. All right. I'm picking 20.
20.
No, 20 is. Uh-huh. How do you approach other educators who are always negative? Okay. Question 20. How do you approach other educators who are always negative? Ooh. Brad, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess it depends on the context, Ray. And we are a combination of the people we surround ourselves with the most. And so if we are by necessity surrounded by colleagues that are negative all the time, we may try to shift the conversation to the positive. We may be intentional about receiving where they're at, but also shifting the conversation, shifting their perspective gently. Depends on the context. In a leadership role, if I have a colleague, if I have a report, for lack of a better word, who is consistently negative, speaking negatively about or to colleagues or about kids, that's where I would need to bring them in. And I'd have a notice and wonder question. Like, I noticed from your conversation that I overheard in the staff room that things appear to be pretty negative with you or for you right now. I'm wondering what's coming up for you. I'm wondering what kind of a day or a week you're having. And I'm wondering how I can support you in maybe shifting your perspective or at least shifting your conversation to speaking positively about others and about kids at all times. So sometimes you have to take that head on.
Okay. I have so many notes with what you just said, because I'm literally going to listen back to this and write this down. What was that format you just said of, I would go to that person and give them something in wonder. What did you say?
Yeah, I call it a notice in wonder. It's a technique I learned from quantum teaching many, many years ago, quantum teaching or quantum learning. And it's a technique called open the front door, OTFD. So the first is an observation. I noticed overhearing your conversation in the staff room that you appeared to be speaking negatively about others. T is for thought. You know, I'm thinking maybe you're having a rough week or a rough day. I'm wondering what's coming up for you. F is feel. So I feel frustrated, feel concerned when others might overhear a conversation with that kind of negative tone about kids or about a colleague. And D, desire. I would love to figure out a way to support you, or I would love for you to reflect on how you might show up more positively, just something like that. So it's open the front door, OTFD, observation, thought, feeling, desire. I just call it notice and wonder. I notice this and I wonder this.
I want to apologize for the dog barking because I was so into what you were saying, Brad, and I like jumped when he barked. But I think that is awesome. I see that Janelle documented that in the comments. I am going to go back and write this down somewhere because I love a good format. Like if I can lean on something to help me be more successful in a specific area, that's phenomenal. The other thing I wanted to highlight was it does depend on your role. And I think that that's really, really a beautiful thing to remind people to consider. If you have people in your life who are bringing negativity, remembering what your role is in that relationship, it is not only necessary, but empowering. I value that you as a leader, if you have a report that's struggling, it's your job to address that, right? Like that's a responsibility you have, is to maybe not to address it. You have a responsibility to care for your staff. And this negativity, if you allow that to continue, isn't really caring for your staff. So I think that's wonderful. On the flip side, from a colleague, you may not feel like you have the power or justification to kind of correct that person. But the way that you went through the notice and wonder, that could be an approach you take even peer to peer, depending on how you want to go about it. Usually I'm a black and white person where I would do the notice and wonder and just kind of call them out. Yep. I do think though, sometimes killing them with kindness is the vibe. Like you should, like Brad, you've seen it in some Zoom meetings we've been in together where I've modeled this, but I'm a sucker for a really sarcastic, really awesome, nice comment after every negative comment to try and almost like just have them know that anytime they're being negative, it shouldn't be around me because I'm going to find a way to make it a positive. I'm trying to think of an example and I don't have one at the top of my mouth, but yeah, there's something there.
I'm right there with you because we as leaders and as colleagues and as people who are really committed to growing positive cultures, we want to be diligent and we want to be intentional about modeling desired behaviors. The desired behaviors that we model show up in the behavior of our colleagues, but also in the kids that we serve. And I was thinking about, you know, what we see on the surface is just the tip of an iceberg. So when we talk about kids' behavior or kids' responses or kids' distress, the behavior that we see is the tip of the iceberg, and below the iceberg are all of the factors, the stresses, both seen and unseen, the life at home, the inner life of a child that what we see is on the surface is the behavior or the response. We don't know what's bubbling under, and it's the same for our colleagues as well. So that whether you're noticing or wondering, or whether, just like you said, you are extending concern, empathy, and care. We want to keep in mind that negativity is the tip of a very deep iceberg, and it may be justified. The negativity may express an inner life that is unhappy or frustrating, or you know, we don't know what path people are walking. And so, you know, one of our viewers, and I'm going to pop that back up, said so helpful to assume positive intent, I think it's so helpful to assume that everyone is doing the very best that they can in the moment. Even if that's wrong, that's the story I'm going to tell myself, Ray. Yes. I'm going to assume that everyone is doing the very best that they can. That's very much easier for me to align what I feel I need to do with the fact that I'm just doing the very best that I can do. And I don't think anyone would choose to do poorly or differently than the best that they can, even if our best isn't showing up the way that we would like.
Brad, I think that reminder is wonderful. And the last thing I think to wrap up that reflection as you go through any sort of process with a negative person is to consider how you can, should, may be able to change your interactions, your frequency and interactions. You know, if this ends up being a teacher that you work with on a daily basis, then maybe there's something long-term we can do. If this is somebody that you follow on social media, maybe there's an adjustment you need to make. If this is a friend that's going through a challenging time, maybe there's some parameters you need to put in, because there is an element of, if you said this very early on, I think it was the first thing you said, we are who we surround ourselves with. And something I'm really prideful of the Teach Better community is that while most of us understand the value of venting and being grumpy, I mean, geez, this year I've been grumpy plenty, but knowing that then there's another step in that. How can we brainstorm together, be in community together, and not live in that negativity? So make sure you surround yourself with those good choices. I like
so that. Good.
Yeah. Okay. So I know we have so many other things we can answer, so many other questions we can answer, but we have a new segment here that we want to get to. We are replacing our Sunday giggles, our weekly giggles, with just a little different of a take. This is now going to be our Sunday spark. I love this because the Sunday giggle wasn't always like a laughable thing. It's supposed to be like a feel good moment, you know? So Brad, you're a winner. Brad came up with the Sunday spark and made this cool commercial because Brad's the bomb.com. So let's get into this commercial and then we will get into our Sunday spark, which Brad, I hope you have. Otherwise I'll make up a good feel good something. There's stuff going on.
100%. We're both ready with the sparks.
I love it. We'll be right back. That had such a good Sunday weekly warm-up vibe. But Brad, a round of applause for you. I love that commercial.
You model the desired behaviors, Ray. You come up with these incredible, uplifting, inspiring, and just, you know, groovy videos. And I learned from the best, and I tried to apply what I learned and came up with a little commercial.
I think you're the coolest dude ever. All right. So before we get into our Sunday spark, we usually have a story and then I always forget, but I'm remembering now, we like to talk about our holidays for the week. So I'm going to pull those up. Brad, what do you got for us today?
Ray, I'm wondering if you and family have ever made a trip to a big box store or to maybe to IKEA, where you have come home with a bunch of flat pack boxes. Maybe you've unpacked and assembled some furniture, or has that come up for you?
3.5 million times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many Allen keys do you have lying around your house from all of those?
And none of them fit. Like you have like 95 Allen keys and you need the size you don't have. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea of the Sunday spark is to share a story that is kind of unique. Maybe it captures a new invention, innovation, something great happening in the world, something you can share with your colleagues or with your students as part of maybe a community circle or maybe a prompt, a visual prompt on your screen. And the one I'd like to share with you today is flat-packed cars. Flat-packed cars, Ray.
What?
A Swedish firm is going to start mailing flat-packed cars with a top speed of 55 miles per hour for urban commuting. So it's an IKEA-style car. You can see a picture of it there. And it says it's not likely to be your next home DIY project, but there is a company that's looking to turn IKEA's flat-packed furniture design into cars. It's a Swedish startup called The Lovely, and its inaugural model is the Lovely O, designed to be tight, light, and modular, flat-packed to save thousands of tons of emissions from vehicle shipping. And this vehicle, designed for urban commuting, is shipped flat-packed to the dealer where the mechanics and techs assemble it, and they give you a ring and they let you know that your Lovely O is ready for pickup. What do you think about that?
That's crazy. And the design like kind of looks cute. I don't know. I kind of like it.
Cool. I kind of like it too. And so I was visiting a kindergarten class last week. I make frequent visits, and there's one table where had a group of young engineers who were creating cars with accordion style designs. And they were showing me that the cars could actually reach way up and they could reach way down. And so when I visit those classrooms, I greet the kids and I say, hey, engineers, or hey, constructors, or hey, artists, or hey, authors, what are you up to? And I wonder if this flat pack car could either spark conversation about some innovation, or, you know, if you could flat pack something to save innovation or save time, what would you flat pack? Many of our families might be familiar with IKEA or flat pack furniture. Many of our kids and families might have funny stories about the missing parts, or how a parent lost their mind trying to figure out how to assemble the darn furniture. But, you know, I wonder if this might be a spark that you could bring to your students. And later on, I'll pop the link to the flat pack car in our Facebook comments in our private Facebook group, and you can have a spark conversation too.
I love that. That's a great bell ringer. I love this discussion.
Bell ringer,
that's a
love
good
it.
Find. Yeah, good find. I like that. All right, some holidays that we have coming up. It's endless. I mean, there are so many. Everything from Be Bald and Be Free Day to I Love Yarn Day, National I Love You Day, which feels just wonderful. It is National Baking Week. We're headed into National Grouch Day, which might be something that we choose to participate in. We have World Students Day. That could be a cool thing to celebrate with our kiddos. That's on the 15th this week. It's also Wolf Awareness Week, which I say, you know, let's celebrate the wolves. Day of Races on October 16th, Dictionary Day, Global Cat Day, National Eddie Day. So any Eddies out there, your day is coming this week. National Heroes Day of Jamaica. National Veterans Barbecue Day. Always sounds yummy. Pharmacy Week and UK Coffee Week. So there's a lot to celebrate here. I feel like it just goes on. And that's awesome. It gives us some things to look forward to. We got good things ahead.
I think those celebrations could be great to incorporate into those bell ringers as well, Ray. Maybe they could lead to a writing or a visual arts project, maybe some poetry about, poetry about your favorite baked goods, or maybe it could be a Google Slides presentation about, I mean, I love Day of the Student. I love Students Day because, I mean, we talk with our kids and we share with them in our school that, you know, we as educators, we're here for you. We're here because of you. If it wasn't for you, there really wouldn't be a reason for a school. There wouldn't be a reason for us to show up. And so I like to turn that on its head and let students know that we are there for them and we are grateful for the opportunity to serve them. And what a great way to highlight the incredible students around us than by celebrating Students Day.
So good. Friends, also don't forget the morning show, the Teach Better Today morning show is available every single day this upcoming week, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. That streams on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. It also becomes a Teach Better Talk podcast episode, just like this show does. So lots of places to engage with your community this week. I know not only this week has a lot of Josh and Katie time, but in the coming weeks, don't forget, we're also sprinkling in those amazing guests, whether it be new faces from the Teach Better community or old faces. We just really enjoy celebrating that show. It hopefully gets you started during your morning routine. And there's also a lot of reminders in there about what's going on with the Teach Better team. We're celebrating an upcoming cruise. Mm-hmm. We have something huge launching November 1st. I know a lot of you will be participating in, and a whole lot more. So head over to teachbear.com to get all those updates and daily blogs and podcasts as well. So Brad, thanks so much for hanging out with me today. I'm glad we took questions. It was so wonderful to catch up with you.
It was such a chill and such a warm conversation. I just loved it from Taylor Swift to flat pack cars and everything in between. I love the listener questions, love diving in, love sharing perspectives. And I'm really grateful to our viewers and listeners who are joining us live in the comments. And later on, if you're listening to us on any of the socials, or if you're part of a Teach Better Talk podcast episode, we'd love to hear what you think after the fact as well. So keep in touch with us. We love hearing from you.
Continue to spread love and support for all of those in our world. And we'll see you guys next week on the Sunday Weekly Warm Up. Bye, friends. We'll be right back.